Thank you for joining the Faith Church Podcast. Connect with us on social media to receive daily inspiration by searching at Your Faith Church on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Get live streaming notifications, receive daily encouragement, and stay up to date on the latest information. Follow, like, and subscribe today.
Thanksgiving is one of my favorite times of the year. Number one, I love the food, right? I mean, it's the time where we break out our maternity pants, start practicing our Lamaze breathing because we have to eat a whole lot of food. But it's also a great time of the changing of the seasons where we see in certain parts of the country the trees start changing, and even in Florida or different places, there's just something different about the fall. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today, is about Thanksgiving, what it means. How can we stay thankful? Because oftentimes things happen to us that kind of break our heart. So no longer do we have a thankful heart or a grateful heart. Now we have a broken heart. Have you ever been there? That's what we're going to talk about today, is deep down, I think on the inside of all of us, we want to be thankful, but we have so many things to be thankful for, and we know that. Sometimes we even feel guilty about that because we're just overwhelmed with the pressures of right now. And then, of course, this time of the year, going into Thanksgiving, into Christmas, all these holidays, now we're dealing with family issues. Things are surfacing and feelings are surfacing that have been under the surface for a long time. Things you didn't think about. Now you're going to be with that person sitting across from the table. Sometimes it may even be a Judas scenario where you feel like the person at the table actually has done something or going to do something to you that is really going to upset you. So we lose the joy of the moment. In fact, right now I'm out here and watching all these little kids run around and have a great time. And there are little 2-year-olds and 4-year-olds, and they're running and they're screaming. And they haven't been hurt by anybody. They haven't been betrayed by anybody. They're just like yelling, "Ah, this is so much fun. There's pumpkins and there's corn stalks and candy, and I'm really enjoying my life." But then after a while, when some of these little kids that are running around are 18 and they've been hurt, they went to school, they got the degree, they got married, and that person betrayed them. Man, now this grateful heart and this thankful heart can now be a broken heart. And then, you know, the Bible says this, that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And I think as I'm 49, and I know what you're thinking, you don't look a day over 48, and thank you for saying that. So it seems like the older I get, the more cynical I can get. Have you been there? To where you're already assuming how this relationship's going to end up, or this employee is going to be, based on the similarities that they have in comparison to that last person that hurt you. And so I think that's why a lot of times we're not thankful anymore, and we're not grateful anymore, and we do get hateful and mean, because again, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And Jesus said this. He said, "Protect your heart with all diligence, for out of it proceeds the issues of life." So as you're kind of doing life and God's wanting to do more for you, in fact, I think some of your most productive years can be in your 50s and 60s and 70s and even 80s. I think about some of our spiritual fathers of the faith right now that are in mothers that are in their 80s, and they're really strong. We're living longer now, obviously, than in any previous generation. So if we're living longer, we want to live stronger and smarter and exude all that human growth hormone. See these kids yelling? It reminds me so much of when Jesus said, "Suffer the children not to come to me." What's that mean without Elizabeth and Eagles? It's like, don't keep the children from coming to me. And I want you to have faith like a child. In other words, I want you to go to work in the car and be like, "Oh man, God's got good plans for me. Joy is in my heart. I'm full of victory. No weapon formed against me will prosper. God's going to work everything for my good. I know the plans He has for me. They're for good, not for evil, to bring me to expected end." And you're just like, "Man, I'm excited." Or you could be like, "Man, the whole world stinks. Now I'm listening to Fox News, CNN News, and all the other news stations, and the whole world stinks." Now you're bitter and angry. And how can you be grateful and thankful and hateful? If we're hateful, we can't be grateful. If we're hateful, we can't be thankful. So that's why I love Faith Church. And for you this weekend hearing this, even if you're watching on television around the world, is that God, I don't think it was an accident that lines you up with me right now to tell you you're taking life too serious. Man, we need to come to Jesus like a little child and go, I can't figure this out. I'm 50, I'm 60, I'm 70. I still haven't figured it out. Now, if you're 18, we know they've already figured it out. In fact, I've always said hire an 18-year-old while they still know everything, right? So we have to realize for a second, we don't know everything, but the one thing we do know is God controls the future, but we have to control us. How do we control us? We got to control what happens in these ears. The Bible said, take heed what you hear. Now, I'm not just saying that we hear things on the news, but these kids that are buzzing around here right now, they didn't watch the news today. They don't know about the stock market. All they know is, I'm tired and I want to eat, right? Johnny took my car. She stole my Barbie. These are the big problems in their life. And somehow they figured out that really life is more than meat and drink. So remember like the birds, the Bible said, they don't sow or gather, yet the Father provides for them. He said, look at the lilies of the field, man. I mean, these things, they don't do anything. And look, God's taking care of them. You're God's child. I think about these kids again where it's the song says, Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. You think you're an adult. God thinks you're still a kid, right? You got to realize that He's your Father, that He is the possessor of heaven and earth, and He's going to take care of you today. But you got to make sure that you're focused on the right thing and you're not listening to the wrong thing. And many of these outside voices are getting into your heart. They're contaminating your heart. They're breaking your heart and they're upsetting you instead of releasing them and saying, man, in this Thanksgiving season, I'm going to be thankful. I'm going to be grateful. And I'm going to give thanks to God who has given me all things richly to enjoy. You know, the Bible says, when evening was come, Jesus arrived with 12. And while He was there reclining at the table, eating, He said, truly I tell you that one of you who is with me, eating with me, betrayed me. Can you imagine that? Jesus is now sitting at the table, eating, and He already knows that this person is going to betray Him. The person is going to hurt Him. But yet He's calm during dinner. I mean, that's so different than me. I'd be like, dirty rascal, I know what you're going to do. I know what you're up to. In other words, I'm already upsetting my heart. I'm already breaking my heart. Jesus knew some of these things are just going to happen. It's just the way some people are. So, you know, in this holiday season and Thanksgiving, you just got to remember that there are people sitting at your table that are either going to do you wrong, and you have to predetermine that you're going to forgive them knowing they're going to do it. Because if you're like me, I've had so many people do me wrong, and so many times they've done me wrong. Sometimes when new people come in my life, I assume they're going to do me wrong, and they may never do me wrong, right? But I'm already thinking they're probably going to do me wrong. So I harden up my heart. So God says, I want you to be tenderhearted. I want you to have a tender heart. I often say this, that God wants you to have thick skin and a tender heart. I want to say it again, thick skin and a tender heart. So predetermine before you get in any scenarios in life that people are going to hurt you. And oftentimes people have already been hurt. And hurt people do what? Hurt people hurt people. But if we go through life assuming that the people at the table are betrayers and now we're mad and angry, you know, we can't even enjoy our life to the full. I was with a doctor friend of mine the other day, and he was talking to me about the importance of forgiveness and the importance of chewing your food and the importance of conversation while you're having your food. It is a scientific fact that our digestive enzymes do not work properly when we are upset while we're eating. So the doctor told me it's very important that you tell people that while they're eating, they should have happy conversations. They should have good conversations. Really, it reminds me of what God said. And He said, think on these things. Whatsoever things are good, lovely, if there be any praise, if there be any virtue, think on these things. But oftentimes we're having meetings about meetings while we're eating lunch. And we wonder, why have we got indigestion? I need Tums. We're not low on Tums. We're low on forgiveness. We're low on right positive energy. So this doctor told me it's very important that while you're eating lunch or while you're eating dinner, and remember Jesus is down with the people, He's eating dinner. He's not all upset and bent out of shape. Judas, that guy's going to betray me. He don't want to mess with his digestive enzymes, right? We have to make sure that we're forgiving people, that we're loving people, and that we're not just saying grace at the table, but we're giving grace at the table, right? So if we're giving grace at the table, not just saying in a religious way, God, now I sit down here and I have this meal, and this is what I'm thankful for, and we say this religious, ritualistic prayer, that might not be very valuable. But if we actually grace people at the table and say, you know what, I know people are going to hurt me, I know that I've hurt people, so if I need forgiveness, I want to make sure that I forgive other people. Does that make sense? So we have to ask ourselves those questions as we continue to get older. Now we've got children who now have gotten married and they didn't treat our daughter right. They didn't treat our son right. Or now they've got grandkids and now, my goodness, what do I do? They're not doing that right. And now we're all luppied up. I talk about our little dog, and some of you heard me talk about it before. We have a 2-pound little Yorkie who's definitely very strong when it comes to having towels. Like, you get out of the shower, she's like, she goes nuts because somebody threw a towel on her when she was little. She gets upset about it every day to this day because somebody did something to her when she was little. Now, that somebody might have been me because she was out of control and I couldn't catch her, so I just innocently threw a towel over her. But now, her whole life, she luppies up every day. She's rigid. Are you luppying up today? We got to forgive. We got to let it drop. We got to say, hang on a minute. For me to be thankful, for me to live out my days, for me to have joy unspeakable and full of glory, for me to really, really maximize my life potential, for me to make people want to be around me, because that's the question, right? Do you love people? Do you have family members that you love, but now you feel like maybe they don't even like being around you because you're luppied up? So we got to be like Jesus and be able to sit at a table with a betrayer who hasn't betrayed him yet, but he was God, so he knew he was going to do it, but he forgave him before he did it. We have to do that. We have to exercise extreme forgiveness. Remember, Jesus said this. He said, you've been forgiven of much, so one that has been forgiven of much forgives much. So if we think about the things that we've done, if we think about past hurts that we've done to people and betrayals that we've done to people, we can say, hang on a minute, I'm going to forgive people, and I'm certainly not going to assume, especially as you get older, I'm not going to assume because some people have done me wrong that everybody is going to do me wrong. You know, you got bad memories and you got good memories. When I saw this John Deere tractor today, I thought of my dad and his dad. My dad's dad, his name was Henry, and he loved John Deere tractors, and somebody gave my dad this exact tractor. It looked just like this. He had restored it, painted it, bought it, saved up, and gave it as a gift to my dad after like 20 years of ministry. And my dad gave it to his dad. My grandfather was so proud. He lived in Sykeston, Missouri, Dexter area, and he drove it to church one day. Can you imagine that? He was so proud of that tractor because he drove it to church. And I was thinking today when I saw that tractor about how my dad got in a fight with his dad when he was 18. And my dad was so mad at his dad, and they physically, believe it or not, my grandfather challenged him in a big way, accused him of something. And they got in a physical altercation, and my dad went and joined the army in the height of Vietnam. And my dad always kind of held that against his dad. But a good memory for me was when my dad said, hey, you know what? I'm going to give my dad that tractor that guy gave me. It really bridged the gap. It brought healing to the relationship. And so my thoughts are today is that just like my dad had told me about those things that his dad did that really hurt him, and he kind of went to his grave with some of that pain, he extended the olive branch, so to speak. He gave the John Deere tractor to my grandfather, and today I'm giving this memory to you to say, pass to the positive. Think about the good things in your family, areas that you can reflect on, stories that you can bring up about one another that can bring healing and wholeness to the family. Don't bring up negative things. I tend to do this even because I work with my family and my wife, my kids, everybody. Obviously, my wife is my family, but we work together, and sometimes I'll just start out the morning with the problems at work or things that we need to change, and all the time I can feel the Holy Spirit speaking into me going, are you really gonna blow that pumpkin up today? Are you going to smash all that right in the morning? She's enjoying her coffee. Let it rest. In other words, there are real problems and there are real issues, but there's a time and a place for the discussion, and that's why the Bible talks a lot about wisdom. He said wisdom is the principal thing. So knowing how to engage in conversations at the right time. And then, of course, bringing back memories that bring healing and wholeness of past things that happened that are good instead of the negative. Because we got enough negative things happening. We got enough negative thoughts. We need to say, hang on, I'm going to re-engage my brain to positive memories and bring forth the good thoughts. Not the bad things that happened between my grandfather and my dad, but the good things that happen. That brings joy in life to me. It releases good thoughts, peace, tranquility, wholeness. That's why the Bible again said, think on these things. Here's something you may have not ever thought about. Who's at the table this year that might not be at the table next year? I remember when my dad at 56 years old passed away just not very long after the holiday season. And he wasn't at the table the next Thanksgiving. He wasn't there at Christmas. And all I have now is the memories that I had with him. So I think a lot of times we need to look back and reflect and go, I'm going to have the foresight to see that the people that I love might not be there forever. And they might live forever. So I need to celebrate this moment. Instead of being so preoccupied or even busy, I remember as a kid a lot of times I'd go over for the holidays, but then I couldn't wait to get with my friends or go to the movies or go to the mall or do my thing. Instead of saying, man, I need to appreciate this moment right now, talk to my grandma a little bit more. Talk to my dad a little bit more. And I think that's something that we could introduce maybe this year that you're in charge of. You know, a lot of the things we talked about today, other people are in charge of. But I love it when we're in charge of something, because how many of y'all know when we're in charge, that's a good thing. Come on, raise your hand right now. And so we're in charge of us. So we can say purposefully, I'm going to spend some quality time with the people that are at the table who might not be here next year or even a couple years from now, because life is but a vapor, the Bible says. It passes by so extremely quick. And so we got to make sure that we are spending time with the people we love and that we're enjoying those people and truly enjoying it instead of being superficial. And sometimes I can do that. Like I love entertaining people. I like to laugh and I like to party and have a good time. But sometimes I don't allow conversations to be one-on-one, spend some time with people. Now, Austin, my son, he's a quality time guy. I mean, he likes to be with you and talk. And a lot of times my conversations are superficial. But it doesn't mean that I can't say, hang on, that's something I need to work on, is making sure that I'm actually engaged in asking people about themselves. Here's something we can do at Thanksgiving. We can ask people about themselves instead of talking about ourselves all the time. Because we know if we love to talk about us, they like to talk about themselves. So the more you talk about them, the more it brings out the best in them. And then, of course, you've got stories for the rest of your life. Things that you can share with your kids and your kids' kids based on the family history of good things that they brought to the table. So Matthew 18, 21 and 22, it says, then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me? And I forgive him. As many as seven times? He thinks he's being grand. And Jesus said to him, I don't say until seven times, but until 70 times seven. 490 times a day? Oh my gosh, over the same sin? Raise your hand if that's a struggle. Come on, everybody. That's a struggle. It's a big deal. 490 times a day? In other words, God was saying, as many times as people wrong you, that's how many times I want you to forgive them. So here's what I want you to understand. The Bible is the manufacturing handbook for your life. So He made you and fearfully and wonderfully created you, that you and I have cut ourselves and immediately it starts healing back up. I mean, how many times have we cut our hands and they look brand new? If these were gloves, we'd have to throw them away. Your body is really designed to work in a healing, forgiving process. And again, I said earlier, that's why our digestive enzymes don't work. That's why cortisol is being released in our body and that fight or flight's going on. And then we're like, man, I can't sleep at night, so I must be low on Lunesta. I must be low on Tylenol PM. No, we're not low on that. What we're high on is stress. What we're high on is unforgiveness. What we're high on is those people did me wrong and I'm not going to let that happen again. And so we stiffen up instead of saying, hang on, I'm going to count it not a lot of wrong done. I'm going to forgive you up to 490 times a day. Come on, raise your hand again if you needed this sermon. I want to see your hand right now, all campuses. You need this because this is what is going to design Monday to be a fun day instead of, oh my goodness, I owe, so off to work I go. And if I meet that person again, I'm going to, have you ever had an argument with people before you actually had the argument? And then you got there and they weren't going to have the argument, but you already have all this bitterness and hostility and you're maxing out. God doesn't want us to live that way. Shake it off. Enjoy fall. Enjoy Thanksgiving. And don't have an ungrateful heart. Don't have a hard heart. Don't have a bitter heart. Don't have a broken heart. And if any of these things are speaking to you right now, you're like, man, but I do have a broken heart. I've been there. The good news is Jesus said, I'm the healer of the brokenhearted. He gives life to those that find them. And then we start reprogramming our brain with good songs. I mean, think about an old song that said, give thanks with a grateful heart, give thanks, right? So now we're actually giving thanks with a grateful heart, not a bitter heart, not a broken heart, not a hard heart. Because remember, we want a tender heart and thick skin, so we're not easily offended. I got one more thing I want to share with you. I remember being at the Thanksgiving table maybe for the first time with my dad, and we'd never had a dining room table before. And I was about 14 years old, and my dad had everybody in at the table. And all of a sudden he says, we're going to say grace. We never did it this way. I'm thankful, God, for what you've done in our lives. And I've kind of had one eye out, like, who is this guy? What is he talking about? So my dad had introduced a new concept, a new culture to our family, but he didn't tell us that he was doing it. So I felt like, what is going on here? This is weird. And you might be here today, and this is a whole new concept to you. So I want to announce to you as a family, maybe even watching on television right now, this is a new concept. What are we going to do? Here's some things I think we can do on Thanksgiving to make it better. You know, so many times in life, in the holiday season, we can have memories that kind of cascade back over our mind of negative things that happen. And I'm reflecting right now on the story of Jesus and how Jesus was meeting with his disciples and he was having dinner at the dinner table. Think about Thanksgiving. And he knew Judas was going to betray him. But he wasn't saying, you dirty rascal, I can't believe it. He just flowed really, really in a healthy way, knowing that that guy was going to do that. Maybe you're getting ready to face the holiday season and you're going to be sitting at a table with some people that you know either betrayed you or they might betray you or you're pretty sure they're going to betray you. And it really affects the way you enjoy your life. So in the holiday season, I'd like to encourage you to not have a hard heart, a bitter heart, or a broken heart, but have a soft, pliable, flexible heart. In other words, have a thick skin, but a tender heart. Remember, the Bible said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And sometimes our mouth is speaking because in our heart, we're bitter. And you can't be bitter and be better. So we have to be the bigger person and say, I want to forgive and not just forget. You know, and I think that's a misconception in the church world. People are always saying you got to forgive and forget. And I don't think that at all. I think that forgiveness really, really is true. And I have really forgiven some people, but I couldn't forget about it. Faith is forgiving people while you still remember. You're a child of God. You're anointed, you're equipped, you're powerful. God loves you. But oftentimes we allow circumstances and problems to beat us down because the divorce did happen. The betrayal did happen. They did steal your clients. They did sue you. And after all, you spent all this time trying to build them up. And look what they did. But you know what? You need to release them and let them go and forgive them because God forgave us. So in this Thanksgiving season, in this Christmas season, going into the holiday season, I think it's very important to remember that we should be grateful, thankful, happy, and appreciate the good memories. Pass to the positive. When bad thoughts come to your mind, grab them, cast them down, and say, I'm not going to think that as a choice today. Maybe at the table, here's some ideas, before we even start meal, we could just tell everybody, hey, I thought this would be cool today if we just went around the table for a moment and said things about each other that we were grateful for. Just like a couple lines. And it'll feel awkward at first, but it's a neat quality. My daughter-in-law introduced that quality to us when we first married. We all got married because when my son married her, we married the whole family. And MJ would say, hey, here's what I like to do at birthdays. So if it's my birthday, I love it because she says, we're all going to go around the table. We're going to tell stories about PD that we loved. And so it forces them to do it. And at first it was awkward. We're like, man, how do we think of stories about, oh man, this takes, that we had to pre-think about cool moments in life that brought out joyous moments. So they got, I love it when it's about me because how many of y'all know it's all this about you? Oh man, PD did this and we were on this trip and he made us laugh. But it brings out joy in me. And it also makes everybody at the table feel like there's something significant happening right now. Healing takes place. You might want to try that with a birthday, but you also might want to try that around the Thanksgiving table. Say, hang on, this is a new concept, but before we put on our maternity pants, before we do all this stuff, and not in a religious way at all, but we're just going to say something, one thing we're grateful for. And you'll have one or two people like, well, I don't know, I'm grateful for, I don't know what I'm grateful for. But if you set that tone, it could be something very interesting. It could be a new agenda for your family. And once my dad introduced that and we figured out what he was doing, then throughout our lifetime, we always look forward to Thanksgiving Day when we all got around the table. And the thing we knew that we were going to do is we were going to give thanks and we were going to have a grateful heart and we're going to acknowledge what God has done for us. Because it's not just Turkey Day. It's not just a football day. It is a day of grace and thanksgiving where Jesus, I mean, if you think about it, Jesus died for us. We have a lot to be thankful for, right? But also our forefathers came over to this great country and settled here and built such a great nation for us. And sometimes we can get so entitled and self-absorbed and comparing our life on Instagram to everybody else's that we really do not enjoy the moment. So be thankful. I want to pray for you right now at all campuses today and online and watching on television. But first I want to ask you a question. God sees your hand. I can't see your hand at all campuses, but God does. And I want you to raise your hand today if this spoke to you today. Raise your hand. Come on, all over the building. All right, you can put it down. Now I want to pray for you. God, I pray right now for this, your church, our family, all campuses today, our family online, and God, people are watching around the world on television. God, you will make this a great Thanksgiving. God, that you will heal the broken heart, the hard heart. God, you'll give us a tender heart. Where we had a heart of stone, you'll make it super supple. And God, I thank you that every person going through a betrayal, a hurt, a divorce, a setback, God, that you would supernaturally strengthen them and give them mercy and peace to sustain this. And even if they're at a table where they sense there was a Judas or they might be a Judas, God, that they'll be more like Jesus and say, I can have this meal with them, knowing that God has forgiven me and I'm going to forgive them in Jesus' name. And everyone said, come on, say it together. Amen. God bless you. I want you to welcome the campus pastor as they come to this stage.
We're glad you joined us today. We know God is doing so much in and through your life, and we want to hear about it. If you take a moment and send us an email and tell us your story at yournewfriend@faithchurch.com. Also, if you'd like to support and partner with this ministry, we'd love for you to go to faithchurch.com/give and simply select the best giving option for you. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoyed today's message.